Well, my name's Brian. I do this from time to time, so it's really good to have another go. I don't know about you, but whenever somebody asks you to do a Bible study or to do a little talk on something, there's a number of things that I do just naturally think about. And one of them is I often ask, what song would go with this passage? You know, if I had to choose a song, you know, to sum up some things, what would it be? And I've chosen a song, and we'll have a listen to it in just a minute. It's a classic. It's a classic track. It was one of my songs of the year. We have a pattern, well, I do anyway, of choosing a song for the year. Do you ever do that? Do you ever, as you're heading into the year ahead, what's the song for the year that's going to be your anthem, that's going to carry with you? It's a good practice to do that. If you don't have that habit, why not start this year and choose a song for the year that's going to go with you through the year? And this is one of my songs of the year from many, many years ago. It's a great song, and we'll hear it now. But it's a song from Bob Dylan, for those who are Bob Dylan fans. It's called "Gotta Serve Someone," we'll play a little bit. But Bob, if you know Bob Dylan, he kind of sings through his teeth, and he's a really laid back. Oh, my name is Bob Dylan, I'm a really cool singer, and it's hard to hear. So I'll just read a couple of verses because it might not be too clear when you hear it. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, or you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with long strings of pearls, but you're going to have to serve someone. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. And it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve someone. So let's hear a couple of lines from my song from the year, 10 years ago.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
There you go, Bob Dylan. You're gonna have to serve someone. And that kind of sums up, in many ways, this passage we're gonna look at today. If you could put the slide up, Dave, we'll start to work our way through it. It's the parable of Jesus meeting the legion of demons in the guy in the Gardena area from Mark chapter 5. And it's part of our series that we're doing about people Jesus met and how Jesus calls people to faith. So we're going to have a little look at that. If I just tell you about another little pattern that I do. If I am looking at a passage from the Bible, I often ask a couple of questions. I'll ask, who are the main characters in this story? Because if you can identify the characters in the story, it immediately gives you several lenses that you can look at the story through. And in this story, there's Jesus, obviously. There's the man who is full of demons, called Legion. There's the demons themselves. And lastly, there's the crowd or community of people that this story takes part in. And that immediately gives you some lenses into the story to understand it a bit. I also like to, if I read a story, just write down some words, things that come to mind when I read the story, feelings, emotions, words that summarize what I'm reading. And I wrote down a few, so here they are. So this story has some danger. It's got a lot of anger. It's very frightening in places. There's lots of emotion. There's things that are out of control. It's noisy. There's a lot of shouting going on, and therefore it's very tense. There's some physical injury in it. Lots of cuts and blood. It's very upsetting to read sometimes. There's a stench, most likely. I'm imagining now, okay, because this story takes place in a graveyard with some open tombs. It's also got pigs in it who are quite smelly. So there's probably, if you could imagine the scene, if you probably, once you read the story, if you could imagine yourself there, there's probably a whiff, there's probably a stench in the air. There might be some wind. It might be a bit windy because this story takes place on high ground, by a lake, and often you get those combinations. You have a wind that might be blowing. So you can imagine yourself, as you read the story, maybe a little bit of wind blowing, a little bit of stench. It could be quite rocky underfoot because, again, you're on top of a mountain or a high area of land. People are using that to build tombs. So it's likely to be rocky. The story is quite powerful. It's also quite beautiful in many ways. Those are just some words that I wrote down, when I read this story. I don't know whether you've read the story or not, but let's read it together, and then we'll come back to that at the end, see if you recognize any of those. So here we go. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Son of Jesus? Oh, sorry, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again, not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told him about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into... Oh, sorry, that's, I think, back to the first one. So here we go. Did you recognize these characters? Jesus, the man, the demons, and the crowd? And did you get any of these words as we read through the passage? It's important to understand where this story took part. It's in this area in the top, to the east of the Sea of Galilee. It's in an area called the Golan Heights, it's a disputed territory. It wasn't a territory that was controlled by Israel at the time, nor is it now, although it's under dispute. At the time, it's important to know that this story happened outside of the main area of Israel, just to the right of the lake. So when I was putting this together, I had the theme of, treating this almost like an MOT. You know, sometimes you take your car for servicing, and the guys in the garage will ask certain questions of your car to make sure it's fit and healthy. And in the same way, I just wanted to ask certain questions of us that come from this passage as we study it together. And hopefully, some of these you will connect with, and some may not, but my prayer is that as we review them together, there'll be one of these things that God puts on your heart, more so than maybe the others, and that's something that you can take with you, into the week ahead. The first thing that struck me is Jesus is operating as a pioneer. He's got a pioneering spirit. This story takes place out of Israel. It's in this disputed marginal territory, and Jesus has no hesitation in going there. It tells me something immediately about Jesus. He has a pioneering spirit. He breaks into new ground and new situations. He is comfortable ministering in marginal and disputed areas. I think the disciples who were with him probably felt a little bit of discomfort. They're out of their comfort zone. They're out of their area of comfort, and they're in a new situation here where they don't know the parameters. They don't know the operating rhythm that's going on in this new territory. But Jesus seems very comfortable ministering in this area. I think this is something we can learn about Jesus. He's a pioneer. He breaks into new ground and new territories because it comes from a passion within to bring the kingdom to new places. And often we find ourselves, when we're thinking about new areas, either in our own lives or in our community, that we need to break into, often, we're hesitant, but what we'll often find is that we're, in many ways, hanging on to Jesus' coattails, because he's already left the boat and he's already gone, to that area. It's a great lens to view Jesus through in this story. So there's a question in my mind that comes with it, and maybe it's a question that you can take into your lives in the coming week. Are there marginal or disputed areas in your life, within your own life, or in our community around us, where Jesus wants to work with you? Are there those disputed marginal lands in your own spirit where Jesus doesn't have control, where the light doesn't shine brightly? There are little areas of darkness. To those areas where Jesus wants to break in, he has a pioneering spirit. He wants to break in, break up that fallow dead ground and bring life to it. So that's a good challenging question for us on the back of this passage. The second one is, what's going on when Jesus meets this guy with the legion of demons within him? It's a frightening story. It's a story that I don't easily relate to in our Christianity around this area. I think since I've been a Christian, probably about 40 years now, I can't easily relate to the story in terms of experiencing it, apart from probably one time or maybe twice in conversation. Once when I was at a John Wimber conference, remember those? Back a few decades ago. There was something similar to this happening, and I was observing it. There was a guy who was very disturbed. People were praying for him. And then he just sort of collapsed on the floor in stillness. And I vividly remember the two doors at the back of the room just burst open with nobody around. And it was like something had left the room. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And then I remember when our friends from Uganda were here, if you recall, when they came with a big choir and people. I remember speaking to many of the Ugandans who told me stories like this that happened in Uganda. And something for me, maybe about our experience of Christianity is different region to region, depending on how close heaven is to earth, maybe, or you know how the heavens are arranged. But there's definitely a clash of kingdoms going on here. When Jesus meets this man, there's as well as the physical ministry, there's a clash of kingdoms. Jesus brings his kingdom of light and life, and there's a kingdom of darkness which is seized control over this man. And there's a clash, there's a confrontation that goes on. And Jesus is our king. He brings his kingdom in. So when you come to faith, you know, you may hear the message of the gospel of Jesus, that gospel that says, you know, Jesus is ready to take over again the reign of your life, to bring in his government and bring order to our chaos. You know, there's a clash that goes on. Immediately, it's difficult to receive. But when you do receive it, something immediately happens. You transition from one kingdom to another. There's a clash that goes on, and your status physically changes. At one time, you're a kingdom, part of the kingdom of darkness. Now you become part of the kingdom of light, and God has made this transition, this miracle of faith that rises up in your life. So a good question here is God calling you to faith or to more faith? You know, you may not have actually reached that point where you have stepped out in faith to follow Jesus. So is God calling you today to step out in faith and follow him as the king? Or maybe you've kind of done it, but you're not following strongly. Is God calling you back, calling you to more faith, to follow him as our king? When you go through the process of conversion, it can happen very fast, like it did with this man, you know, in a day. I look at my conversion when I was 16. It was a very fast process. You know, almost within a week or 2 weeks, a series of events happened, and faith came alive in me very quickly, from a place where there was no faith to suddenly a place where faith was very vibrant, happened just over a few days. But if you hear my wife's story, you know, she came to faith over many, many years, growing up as a child in a Christian family. And both experiences are very valid. We transition into the kingdom of God in different ways, but the fact is we transition in. We come from a place where we're not in, and we enter the kingdom of God. And at that point, God then becomes our king. And you look at the example of Peter. Peter was obviously converted. You know, was he converted, actually? I don't know. He had an encounter with Jesus on the beach, and Jesus told him to follow him, asked him to follow him, and Peter did. But was that Peter's conversion? It was certainly his first encounter. But then there are other encounters in Peter's ministry where, you know, he says, "Jesus, go away from me because I'm a sinful man." You know, when he had that incident and Jesus healed the people, and Peter said, you know, "Don't come with me. Don't come near me, Jesus, because I'm a sinful man." Was that his real conversion? Or maybe it was, you know, by the fire after his betrayal of Jesus at the cross, you know, and the meeting with Jesus on the beach after, you know, when Jesus restores Peter. Was that his real conversion? I don't know. I mean, it seems to be there's a whole series of events in Peter's life where, you know, he was stepping out in faith and then stepping back. It can be a long lifetime process. But the point is that Jesus is calling us to faith, the first step of faith and the ongoing steps of faith. So the question, The MOT question, I think, is God calling you to faith or more faith today? Just going to have another little video. And this is from a very famous film called The Matrix, one of my favorite films. And let's have it and then move on to the next point.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Classic Matrix movie. If you haven't seen it, do watch it. It's great. It's got so many spiritual parallels. And in this one, you can just flick that forward. In this one, it's a story of disruption. And I think in my... Oh, I'm going to have to flick through these, am I? Let me just get back to the place where that was. In this story, it's a story of disruption. What happens to Mimo there in the story is... there we go. I think we're back to that one. Jesus as disruptor. He's the disrupting influence on the crowd that's watching this story. He causes them to make some decisions and causes them to react. In many ways, this story, it's Jesus presenting some choices, just as was presented here, presenting truth and finding that the crowd who are watching the story feel disrupted. You know, this guy, Jesus, who they know nothing about, has come into the community and disrupted things. And they have a reaction. They have a negative reaction in this case. But it's the nature of the kingdom that when you present the kingdom, you have reactions. Jesus, by his nature, is a disruptor. He's a disruptor of people in the sense that he shakes up things and causes things to be reordered. He's a disruptor of communities because when the gospel is presented, people are in their own space and in their own worlds, and they can react with difficulty to the gospel. But nonetheless, disruption is necessary as God brings his life to us and to our community. So the question for me is, how are you reacting to Jesus' work within you and around you? What's your reaction like? You know, are you embracing or are you rebelling? And then last couple of points, Jesus as the restorer. This is the beautiful part of the story where Jesus takes the man, and you get the sense of what this man's been through for probably years. And within a short period of time, the man is restored. It's beautiful. God, the restorer, God, the healer, meets this man, and there's an amazing transformation. He moves from one kingdom to another, and in that transition, his life is restored. Every aspect of his life is restored. He's restored in his mind. His spirit is now in the kingdom of heaven, and his body will begin to renew as Jesus ministers to him. So God deals with body, spirit, and soul, and moves this man to a completely different place. So the question, the MOT question in my mind is, what aspects of your life need Jesus' restoration today? What aspects of your life need that restoration touch in the same way as Jesus was able to restore this man? Lastly, Jesus as instructor. This man, you can imagine everything he's been through. Jesus meets him, transforms him. The natural thing for this man that he wants to do is just to hang out with Jesus. He wants to follow Jesus, and he wants to leave with Jesus. And if you remember the story, what Jesus says, no, you don't come with me. Stay here and tell your story to others. And you get a sense of maybe disappointment with that. It's not what the guy wanted. It's not the calling that he would have wanted to receive, but it's the calling that Jesus gave him to tell your story among your community. And he went off to do it. And you remember the last line of the passage, people were amazed. So the question, the MOT question is, how will you tell your story of your encounter with Jesus? So these are the questions. These are the different lenses that I found when I looked through the passage, and I hope all of them. Sorry, getting used to this clicker. These are the five questions, and I hope that one of them resonates with you. But what I'd like to do is just pray for us as we think about these and invite God to come and think about them as we take them into the week ahead. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this passage, this amazing passage. Thank you for your word, which brings life to us. Thank you for the different lenses that we observe. And, Lord, our prayer is that you would take one of these areas, one of these questions, and in our hearts, in our mind's eye, we want to choose one. We want to sense where you're leading us. And Lord, would you come and minister to us, we pray. Would you come and meet us where we are, to meet with you through the week and examine our lives and understand where you want to take us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.